Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Started up here, as always, on Facebook. Do me a huge favor right now while the chat loads. Hopefully it loads. Let me know where you're watching this from, just so I can see where everybody's at. Something that we used to do back in the day, we hardly ever do it anymore. Feels like kind of like old times tonight. I haven't been live at 6 o'clock on a Monday in about a month because I've been helping coach my daughter's softball team. And they've been having Monday night games, so I've been doing the streams earlier. But they didn't have one tonight, so we are here at 6 o'clock. I have a very important word. I hope that the chat loads on my end. I do see it on my screen, so that's good. But unfortunately, let me try to fix my chat bot here. Maybe you guys are just freezing it, typing where you're watching from. Unfortunately, it's not loading on my end over here. Let's see. Can we get this to work? There we go. It's working. Welcome, everybody. Okay. The chat. Without the chat, guys, I just feel completely lost. So we got to have the chat going. We got to have the chat working. Welcome to episode 175 of the Monday Night Fire. We'll do some Q&A, hang out at the end of the broadcast, and do all the announcements. Really, what you need to know is tonight I have a special word for you that I'm excited to share. I'm going to give you practical steps to finding your destiny, as well as showing you what your calling is according to the word of God right now, and also showing you what your ministry is right now according to the word of God, and then giving you practical steps to finding your specific destiny. So this is going to be a great broadcast tonight. My next date in person will be July 19th through the 21st. We'll be Revival in the Desert. It's in Washington. If you want to go see me in Washington, revivalinthedesert.com. I'll give you more info on that soon. This Thursday, every Thursday we have this 1:30 p.m. prayer call. So if you're not a monthly partner, become one. Help us out. We are viewer supported. And then make sure when you become a monthly partner, you join into these prayer calls. Jared's been joining me. It's been super powerful. Last week, well, not this last week, but the week before, I got a text at 8 o'clock at night that the prayer call was still going, and it went all night long till the next morning. So these prayer calls, we're on these, and they've just been going all night, all day. People are getting healed, getting delivered. God is moving. Be a part of what God is doing. Maybe you can't get in person, but we have these virtual prayer calls that have been amazing at 1:30 p.m. every Thursday. So if you are a monthly partner, you need to jump into those. And then we're live Monday at 6, Tuesday at 6, and Thursday, like I said, at noon, we're live, and then 1:30 p.m. prayer call. Tomorrow is a very special live stream. Okay, I feel like this is a massive announcement. This has not happened in at least 6 months, maybe longer. We have tomorrow night on the podcast all four of the Demon Slayers. Yes, we have Pastor Mike, Pastor Vlad, and Pastor Pagani tomorrow on the podcast. All three of the guys will be with me. Like old times. This is like old times. We finally got everybody synced up. Everybody's always so busy. It's hard to get everybody on one broadcast. But tomorrow at 6 o'clock, we're going to be talking about, well, I won't even give it away. I'll post about it in the morning, tomorrow morning. But we're going to be live tomorrow. The Demon Slayer reunion, Jared said. Yes, it's been a long time, but that's going to be great. You don't want to miss that tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And then again, make sure you're active in the chat. I'm reading the chat the entire time. It's going to be a great night tonight. Father, I just pray tonight, Lord, that you would touch your people, God, that you'd have your way. I pray, Lord, that I would not speak anything that you don't want me to speak. Holy Spirit, give me the strength, give me the boldness, give me the passion to declare your word. Lord, touch your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to talk to you guys, and I'm reading the chat the whole time, by the way, so feel free to be engaged and be chatting and all that good stuff, but I want to make sure you're taking notes, and I want to talk about the pursuit of purpose and the pursuit of destiny. This is something that every single person, every one of you in the chat, everybody watching on the replay, anyone that can hear this is on this pursuit. There is not one person that's not on the pursuit of destiny looking for why they are on this earth. I really believe that the question that this world is asking is, why am I here? And many people will look to destiny in drinking and partying and girls and careers and clubs and cars and houses and everywhere but the only place you can find your destiny. And we're gonna talk about that. Why are you here on this earth? Some people say the most important day of your life is not the day you were born, but it's the day you find out you were born. Now, I would say the most important day of your life is not the day you were born, but is the day you were born again. Because in that moment where you are born again, where you pass from death to life, you are now able to truly find out why you were born onto this earth at this specific time. If you don't know, it's not an accident that you're here. I know there's some of you in the chat that feel tired. You feel weary, you feel discouraged, you feel like your life is an accident, you feel like your life is a mistake, you don't know where you're going, you feel like you're wandering in a wilderness, like you're wearing a blindfold, walking through traffic. Why did I end up in this relationship? Why are my kids this way? Why is my life this way? Why was I raised in this house or in this country or in this place? But I want you to know that everything in your life is by divine purpose. Where you were born, the color of your skin, the city you were born into, the state you were born into, you didn't decide that. You did not decide what color skin you were going to have when you were born. You did not decide what city you were going to be in when you were born. You did not decide who your parents were going to be, whether they were going to be lawyers or whether they're going to be janitors. Someone decided where you're going to be born, what your skin color was going to be, and what family you're going to be in. And that person was God. And the Bible says in Jeremiah that before you were even born, that God knew you. That before you were even on this earth, God had a plan and God had a purpose for you. So you are not purposeless. You have to stop living by accident, on accident. So many of us just live random. There's no goal. There's no purpose. It's no wonder we struggled to get out of bed. Guys, for years before I met Christ, I did not want to get out of bed in the morning. I would sleep until 1 o'clock every day almost if I was able to at times. If I didn't have any school or work in the morning, I would sleep in throughout the day. You're like, oh, you just like sleeping in? Part of it was, yeah, I was lazy. But the other part was I had no purpose. I had no reason to get out of bed. I had no reason to get up. And some of you watching this right now, maybe it's your first time on the live, that's you right now. You don't have a reason to get out of bed. You don't have a reason to pray. You don't have a reason to talk. You don't have a reason to love. You don't have any joy, any peace. And a lot of this stems from a lack of destiny, a lack of purpose. You are aimless. But I want you to know that is not God's plan for your life. God wants to show you his plan for you. God wants to show you the destiny that he has for your life. Every single one of you have a specific destiny that God wants to reveal to you. Every single one of you have a special calling. I'm going to tell you how I found out my calling, but it's not going to be the same way you find out your calling. I am going to give you 7 practical steps just to help you navigate and figure this out. But I want you to know that God knows why you were in that family. God knows why you're in that state. God knows why you're in that country. And I think one of the issues we're struggling with as Christians and in the church is we're always telling people where they go when they die. Guys, do you understand most of the world doesn't even care or ask where they're going when they die? Like, go up to somebody and say, hey, have you ever wondered where you're going when you die? Most people say no. Most people living now that aren't Christian, they don't even care about where they're going when they die. And we are trying to answer that question for people that aren't even asking that question. The question on the world's mind is not where do I go when they die, which we do have the answer to that. But the question they're asking is, what do I do on this earth? Like, why am I here? Guys, the climax and the end goal of Christianity is not where do I go when I die or one day I'm going to die and go to heaven. It's how do I live on this earth now? I want to live for God. I want to live for his kingdom. If your only concern is where you go when you die, the best thing that can happen to you is for you to die tonight. He's like, man, we're all just kind of waiting to die to go to heaven. But God's like, I'm not waiting for you to die to go to heaven. I'm invading heaven right now. Lord, let your kingdom come at my job. Let your kingdom come at my school. Let your kingdom come in my family. I'm not waiting to get hit by a bus and go to heaven. I am bringing the kingdom of heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit onto earth right now. This is one of my purposes, is to be a kingdom ambassador. I'm going to show you this in scripture. So you got to realize Jesus did not come and say, hey guys, just pray a prayer, and then when you die, you're going to be good to go. I'll see you guys later and take off. No, what did he do? He brought a kingdom. He brought a lifestyle. He brought a new lens into which we can see life. He brought supernatural power and change that before you were unchangeable. Before Jesus came, there was no freedom from demons. Before Jesus came, there was no people going out laying hands and praying for the sick. There was no way to go from being addicted and angry and resentful and bitter and in one moment be born again, and now you're going from anger, bitterness, and resentment to walking in the Spirit. Jesus brought life. He said, I give life and life more abundantly. I'm not coming to bring death and confusion and despair. And we're telling those spirits tonight to get off of us in Jesus' name. I will not live under the spirit of confusion. I know the plans that God has for me. I know the destiny that God has for me, and I'm going to walk out the plans that God has for me. So it's time for me to stop trying to go find myself. Like, I'm just, you know, some people, you know, it's crazy. Some people take time off of serving God because they're like, well, I just really need to find myself. I just really need to figure out who I am. And I didn't really have time for that. You know, I got saved
real radical. And, you know, now I just need to take a break from this whole revival and prayer and fasting and holiness and church. And I just need to go find myself. That's the worst thing you can possibly do, is go find yourself. Do you know the Bible says you actually need to lose yourself? That this life is not about finding you, finding your purpose, finding your... No, I'm trying to find my purpose in God. I'm trying to find my destiny in God. Here's what the Bible says. Let me give you a verse. Luke 9:24. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. The Bible teaches, stop trying to find yourself and start trying to find God. Let go of your life and say, God, I'm letting go. And I'm saying yes to you. I'm saying yes to your plan. Come on, who am I preaching to? I'm saying yes to your purpose. I'm not grabbing on. I'm letting go. It is so freeing. Man, I feel this in the Holy Spirit tonight. It is so freeing to let go and let God, to stop being in the driver's seat, because I was stressed out for years. Anybody in here, like, were you anxious before you were saved? Guys, before I was saved, I was so anxious all the time. I know you can't believe, not Isaiah. Oh, yeah, me. I was anxious. I had anxiety attacks. I was stressed all the time. I felt like I was getting gray hair at like 18 years old. Because I was worried about, how am I going to get this? I got to get a job, I got to get a car, I got to get a house, got to get this, got to get a career. I'm like, I'm 16 years old, graduating high school and going, I got to go to college, I got to get a car, I got to get this. And I'm stressed out about 20 years from now because I was the one driving my life. I was the one hanging on to my life. But the beauty of letting go, come on, chat, am I preaching? The beauty of letting go and saying, Lord, do whatever you want to do. Not my will, but your will be done. God, do what only you can do in my life. Move in my life. I don't want to be in control of my life. I don't want to be in control of my destiny. I want the Lord to be in control of my destiny. I want you to type right now in the chat, God, control my destiny. God, I don't want to be the one in control. Guys, I remember sitting there looking up at the sky thinking, there has to be more to life. Everybody's had this moment. There has to be more to life than a 9-to-5. Have you felt that? There has to be more to life than just sitting up wondering, what's my purpose? There's more than having a job and living Sunday to Sunday and having a mundane 5-minute prayer life, nothing divine, nothing supernatural, nothing out of ordinary. Guys, God has a life ordained, a destiny, a plan. It is not too late. I really feel the Holy Spirit's telling me, some of you are going, it's too late for me, Isaiah. I'm too old. I waited too long. I'm in my 60s. I'm in my 70s. It is not too late for you to do what God's called you to do. Now's the day. Today's the day to say, Lord, I'm going to do whatever it is. Whatever you want me to do, God, control my life. I'm ready. So this desire for purpose, this desire for destiny is God-given. God has put that inside of you. You can have millions of dollars in the bank and still be empty because you don't have purpose. How many of you know all these celebrities that end up taking their life, that are depressed, that are miserable? I remember we were doing deliverance with somebody who is famous, very famous. And she was telling us about all these other very famous people. I'm not going to try to name drop and be cool or anything, but she was just telling us about all these famous people that you guys watch on TV, and she's friends with all these people. And she was like, Isaiah, they're all depressed. They're all on medication. They're all anxious. I mean, these are the top celebrities. I mean, you know this because you're a Christian, that they're all empty, but it just really struck that this lady knows these people. She had hundreds of millions of dollars. These people she knows are some of them billionaires, and they're all depressed. They're all empty because they have money, but no purpose. They have wealth and success, but no purpose. So a lot of people have mistaken success for calling. Because I'm successful, that must be my calling. No, career is not calling. Money is not calling. Success is not calling. Don't equate worldly success to heaven's call. There is a fulfillment and peace you find in doing what God's called you to do that you will not find. Hear me, friends. Anywhere else but in your destiny. There is something about, now let me use me for an example. I traveled for years, pastored for a decade, and now I'm sitting in an office. Well, I was gonna say cold office, but it's like 80 degrees. I gotta turn the AC on. But I'm sitting in front of a camera. And you know what? I didn't wanna do this. I didn't wanna sit in front of a camera. I didn't wanna live stream. I didn't wanna buy cameras. I didn't wanna do studios. I didn't wanna do any of this. And in 2019, when the Lord said, go online, get cameras, start preaching, I was like, I don't want to do this. It's not, but I'll tell you one thing right now. I'm being out of my comfort zone for the last 5 years doing this has brought me more fulfillment than I could ever tell you. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, how is this fulfilling? Preaching to a camera, But I'll tell you how it's fulfilling, because I'm in the will of God. Because I said, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I'm saying yes to you. So some of you, I'm telling you right now, you just need to say yes to God, and you're going to find fulfillment in what God's called you to do that you will not find anywhere else. I don't care if you are on the top of a company right now making millions of dollars a year. Please hear what I'm about to say. And God says, I want you to leave it all to go work at an orphanage in India. And I know I'm being drastic here, but let's just say he does. You will find more fulfillment in that orphanage in India with no money, with no corporate job, with no nice car, no nice house, than you ever would at that corporate job if that's not what God called you to do. You have to be in the call of God. One of the reasons why some of you are miserable right now in life is because you're not in your destiny. You're not in your purpose. And this is what I'm trying to get to you, is you got to be doing what God has called you to do. Now, I'm going to help you out by showing you two things before I give you the seven steps. Number one is every single one of us have a general call. I'm just calling this, I know it doesn't sound fancy, the general call. And this is something that every one of us has, the general call, which is the Great Commission. This is the sending of the disciples, the crescendo of Jesus's ministry on earth. The Great Commission is the word co and mission put together. You're not alone. You're not on this journey, this life by yourself. The Holy Spirit is your coworker. He's the Prince of Peace. He's your lawyer. He's your advocate. He's your helper. He's your comforter. He's the one working with you. And the general calling is this. I want you to write this down. This is for everybody. So if you walk out of this video tonight going like, I didn't really figure out my calling, you can't, because I'm about to give you your calling. I want you to write this down. Every single one of you have this general calling. Every single one of you. Number one, and these are not in any particular order, but just write these down. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, drive out demons, baptize people, raise the dead, and make disciples. Those were the six things Jesus commanded his disciples to do while he was on the earth. If it worked for them, these are general things I am called to do. This is my general calling, okay? Those six things. Now, this is what he said. I'm sending the disciples to do this thing. You don't need a special anointing. You don't need a special gifting. You don't even need God to tell you to do this. This is the general calling that the disciples did in the Gospels, and his word says to do it. His word says to do it. So you don't be like, I need to wait for a confirmation. The word of God is your confirmation. Matthew 28, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus said, I've been given the authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded of you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus said, everything I commanded you to do, don't wait. He didn't say stay. He said, go teach them to do. Jesus commanded them, go out and preach the gospel. Go out and heal the sick. Go out and cast out demons. Go out and raise the dead. I've given you power to heal those of leprosy. Go out and make disciples. So he says, everything I've taught you, you're going to go and you're going to teach them. You are going to go into the world. So I am called to go into the world. I'm not called to wait for the world. This is where the church stops at. Like, we're just going to wait for them to come to church. No, that's not what Jesus said. Nowhere in the Bible did he say, wait for them to come to your church. Jesus said, go and make disciples of them. Acts 16:17, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up serpents. They'll drink deadly poison. It will not harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Verse 19. So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke, was taken to heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Verse 20. And this is what the disciples did. Are you ready? The general calling. Here it is. This is it. Very important. Pay attention. Verse 20. They went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed their message by signs and wonders. Let me say that again. The Lord worked with them and confirmed their message by accompanying signs. So the Lord says, I'm willing to work with you. Amen, chat. I'm willing to empower you. You cannot fulfill the calling and destiny, the general calling of God, without the supernatural power of God. Don't believe these lying pastors that say, you don't need power. You don't need to cast out devils. You don't need to heal the sick. You don't need the Holy Spirit baptism. You just get saved, pray a prayer. Do not believe that lie from the devil. You do need the power of the Holy Ghost. You do need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You need that Holy Spirit to come upon you, to empower you, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to preach the gospel, to baptize, to raise the dead, to make disciples. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're missing. There's a power outage in the church. You guys have heard me talk about this before. So the general calling. So, all right. What if I'm a school teacher, Isaiah? Okay. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, make disciples. What if I'm a stay-at-home mom? Okay. Then your calling is preach the gospel, heal the sick, drive out demons, baptize people, raise the dead, make disciples. Well, what if I'm a pastor? Okay. Your job is to preach the gospel, heal the sick, drive out demons, baptize people. What if I'm a police officer? Okay, your job is to preach the gospel, heal the sick, drive it. What if I'm a barista at Starbucks? Okay, your job is to preach the gospel, is to heal the sick, is to drive out demons. Here's why. You are establishing a kingdom on this earth. You are establishing the kingdom of God. That is why in the book of Revelation, one day the angels will say, the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our God. You are a kingdom ambassador. You are a representative of an invisible kingdom, and your job is to represent well. I'm here as a representative of God. So I'm going to do what God did. I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm not going to let a religious, weak pastor talk me out of it. I'm not going to let a religious, weak YouTuber talk me out of it. I'm not going to let some guy that has a bunch of books behind his set while he films tell me why gifts aren't for today, miracles aren't for today, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the same as just when you get saved. No, when you get saved, you get sealed. But whenever you have the baptism, you get filled. It's not the exact same thing. There was a different encounter the disciples had in the book of Acts, and they didn't just have it once. They had it multiple times. Ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You need the power and the fire and the anointing and the punch of the Holy Spirit in your ministry, in your marriage, in your family, in your parenting, at your school, at your job, at your family reunion, when you're mowing your lawn, when you're playing golf, when you're playing pickleball. Hello, don't matter what you're doing. You need firepower. What army doesn't need firepower? What army said, we're going to go without weapons? The church is fighting without weapons. We have no armor on. We have no weapons. We are fighting from a defeated position. But you could have artillery and tanks and sniper rifles and all this artillery, the power of the Holy Spirit. God told David, go to battle. And when you hear the sound of marching in the trees, there's a rustling sound. That rustling in the trees is the armies of God marching before you. Come on, Holy Ghost. When you hear the rustling, David, the trees blowing, that's the sound of marching. The armies of God go before you, David, and you are going to win the battle before you even take your sword out of your sheath. The battle's already been won. Why? Because God has my back. I don't get why you do. Why do it without him? We don't need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What? Like, dude, what are you even doing with your life? Why do it without the Holy Spirit? Why live your life without the power? So the general calling is you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 10:7, proclaim as you go, tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then look at what Jesus says. These are words in red, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers and cast out demons. Well, brother, that was only for the original disciples. Where does it say that? Doesn't the Bible say all scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, correcting, reproof, rebuke, and is applicable to us? Even the Old Testament stories teach us how we can live our life now. Where did you find? I'm reading the text. I'm like, wait, where, that's just for them? No, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go do these things. Jesus commands his disciples to do this. Don't believe the false doctrine. It's not for today. Don't you think if it wasn't for today, somewhere in the New Testament, it would say, this isn't anymore. But no, you know what happened? Religious men who do not walk in the power, the unction, or the anointing of the Holy Spirit want to convince you that you don't need to either. Because I don't do it, you don't need to do it. No, 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 no. I want to do it. The Bible says I can do it. I want to do it. I need to do it. I need to do the call that God has on my life. That's where you're going to find fulfillment. That is why when Jesus was helping the woman at the well and they came and said, Jesus, aren't you hungry? You haven't ate. You guys know Jesus ate, right? Okay. They said, you haven't ate. You must be hungry. And he goes, I did eat. And I'm paraphrasing. He goes, the food I have, you know nothing about. My food is doing the will of my Father. Where does my soul find nourishment? Where does my soul find satisfaction? Where does my spirit truly get that food? It's when I do the will of the Father. So don't get mad you feel empty when you're not doing anything God called you to do. So you have the general calling. So everybody's going to leave this video going, oh, I have a general calling. I'm going to start there. If you don't know your specific calling, which I'm going to share about that, how to find that, because we all have that. you at least know that you have a general calling, and that's the general calling. But you don't just have a general calling, you have a ministry. And if you're part of this channel, I know a lot of you said it's your first time in the live I saw earlier, you know this is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible I'm about to give you. But I want to show you before I even get into the seven steps, not only do you have a general calling, but you have a ministry. I have a ministry. You know, Isaiah Saldivar ministry, and I do my YouTube, all that stuff, and I travel and preach. But you might not know this, you actually have a ministry. Every single one of us have it in the Bible, and this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:18. This is everything about, Renee, welcome for the first time to the live. Thank you for being here. 2 Corinthians 5:18 is everything about what we're talking about tonight. Look at what this says. All this is from God. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Type it in the chat here. Look at this. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So that's the name of your ministry. The name of your ministry is reconciliation. But look what it says in verse 19. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them, and he committed us the message of reconciliation. He committed to us the message of reconciliation. So I have a ministry. What's my ministry? Reconciliation. Verse 20. Look at this. We are, I don't even know if there's any verse in the Bible that just sums up tonight more than verse 20 right here. Look at this. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God himself were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled back to God. Be reconciled to God. So here's what Paul sums up. Oh, you have a ministry, all right. Your ministry, share this broadcast, let's reach more people. We're going to break 2,000 in a minute, but let's reach more people. Your ministry is reconciliation. And not only that, you're God's ambassador. You're literally Christ's ambassador. And not only that, but you are calling people back to God as if God himself were speaking through your mouth, saying, come back to the Father. What a beautiful ministry we have. This is where you're going to start finding fulfillment when you start seeing people get reconciled back to their Father. Most of the world has lost their connection to God, have strayed from God, have lived their life in sin and iniquity, and you have the message to say, come back to God. There's a way home. Christ made a way where there was no way. There was no way to the Father. You know, the Bible says you were at war with God. Your mind is at war with God, but Christ says, I'm going to make peace. I love this. The Bible says the blood, the cross, it gives us peace with God. We were at war. And one of my favorite things about the blood of Jesus is we're no longer at war with God. How many years did you fight against God? How many years did I war against God and fight him in my sin, my compromise, cursing at his very name? But then Jesus said, while you were a sinner at war with God, I came to reconcile you back to the Father. Here's the beauty. I didn't just come to reconcile you back to the Father. Now that you're reconciled, I'm giving you the ministry of reconciliation. I'm giving you the message of reconciliation. I'm making you my representative. I'm not going to let the moon represent me. I'm not going to let angels represent me. I'm not going to let the galaxies represent me. I'm not going to let the mountains represent me. I'm not going to let hurricane or tornado or any powerful thing in creation represent me. You, not an angel, not Michael, not Gabriel. You are Christ's ambassador. Think about that. Come on, Holy Spirit, help me tonight. You read these magnificent stories in the Bible where an angel shows up. Y'all see this where Michael, Gabriel, and you're like, I wish I could visit an angel. If an angel showed up to me, if Gabriel showed up to me tonight in my office, I would obey anything he had to say. Amen. We'd all say, but you know what's crazy? The crazy part about all of that is that an angel is not, the Bible does not say an angel is Christ's ambassador. It's God's ministering spirit, but it doesn't say it's Christ's ambassador. It says you are Christ's ambassador. So you have a job that even angels don't have, and that is representing Jesus in his image. You're made in his image, walking. So when you meet people, it's an encounter they have because they're meeting Christ's ambassador. Now, we know most Christians are not ambassador of Christ. They're ambassador of their own church or an ambassador of religion or ambassador in lukewarm Christianity. But we have a choice tonight, guys. And I just feel an urgency tonight and the Holy Spirit boldness moving through me. We have a privilege to be an ambassador, not of an angel, to be an ambassador of Christ. Look what Paul said in Acts 20:24. My life is worth nothing. It literally says it's useless unless I use it to finish the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. There is so much in this verse, Acts 20:24. Paul says, my life is useless. Isaiah, does your life matter outside of doing what God called you to do? No. Guys, if I wasn't doing this, preaching what God told me to do, at times where I don't want to, where I'm tired, where I'm sick, where I don't feel like it, where I'm lazy, where I'm human, I do it anyway. If I didn't do this, if you took ministry out of my life, my life would be pointless. My life would be a waste. My life would be useless. I shouldn't even be alive. I might as well just die right now and go to heaven. This is what Paul is saying. My life is nothing. It's useless. Unless, here's what gives it value. Are you ready? Unless I use it to finish the work God assigned to me. God has given, I'm just speaking for me. I can't speak for you. God has given Isaiah Saldivar a mission, a task, work. There's work. And I'm working right now until my last breath is breathed out of my mouth to finish the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. What is the work God has assigned you? What is the thing that God is calling you to do? What is the thing God is saying, step out of your comfort zone and do? We all have assignment, and all of our assignment is not the same, ladies and gentlemen. Some have one talent, some have 10, some have five. Everybody doesn't have the same portion. Everybody doesn't have the same responsibility. For many of you, your calling is not to do what I'm doing. That is not your assignment. Your assignment might be raising a godly family. That might be your assignment. Your assignment might be being a businessman and sowing into the body of Christ and then sharing your faith when you have the chance. That might be your assignment. Because the Bible says, work hard with your hands, live a clean, peaceful life. Don't quarrel, don't fight with people. So you might not have this public ministry. Most of you won't. Most of the body of Christ won't. But that's my assignment I have to fulfill. And without doing whatever you do, that's not the assignment God has for your life. It's a waste of life. And then he says, the work. So here's what God's assigned me to do. Here's the work. He says, I've been assigned work. You've been assigned work. Then he tells us what the work is. So this idea that God's calling is a mystery. No, that's not a mystery. Paul says, I know what to do. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. I have a job to do. Here's my job description. Tell people about me. How hard is that? Is that like impossible? Does that take like 10 years of schooling? No. God says, tell everybody about my grace. Why wouldn't you want to tell everybody about the grace of God? This is the goal. This is the goal. And in that, the general calling, the purpose of this general calling, before I go into specific calling now, is to glorify God, is to bring honor to God, is to advance his kingdom, is to further his agenda. If you want to live, you must die. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Now, it's interesting that it doesn't say whatever ministry you do. It says whatever you do, I'm doing it to the glory of God. Whether that's working at your company, raising your kids, doing a sport, doing a hobby, anything, whatever you do, literally whatever. It doesn't even say like if it's work, if it's school, it doesn't matter. I'm doing it to the glory of God. I'm living my life in a way where I'm glorifying God in everything that I do. I'm glorifying God. If your calling doesn't bring glory to God, it's probably not a calling from God. The glory of God is always the first variable in defining your calling. Don't mistake calling for a career or calling for hobby. Career is what you do for a living. Hobby is what you do for fun or enjoyment. Neither of them are wrong. Both of them are awesome and essential, but those are not callings. Those are not callings. We have to remember these all can integrate. My career and my calling can integrate. It could also integrate with my hobby. You could have a calling, a career, and a hobby that's all the same, all right? So you integrate these things, but don't mistake saying, well, because I have a career and a hobby, that must be what God's called me to do, because we have to realize I have a purpose. I have a destiny beyond just, and let me show you this, Matthew 4:19. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fish for people. So you're fishermen, you're still going to fish, but now you're going to be fishing for people. Now your goal is not going to be, why was Peter fishing for money? I mean, duh, it wasn't just his hobby. He was fishing for money. It was his trade. So he says, you're still going to do what you were doing, your trade, but now you're going to be doing it to reach people. Like for me, when I got saved, I was working at Starbucks and I still worked there for a year and a half, but I was no longer there to make a latte and make money. I was now there to reach souls for God's glory. My mindset changed. I'm no longer going to work with the mindset, I'm just here to make money. And I believe we should be the best representatives of God at our job. I was early, every single shift, 10 minutes early. And I'm not bragging about myself. I was the hardest worker there, and I was early. Why? Because I'm representing God. And if I'm God's representative and I'm showing up to work late, oh, it's going to get quiet up in the chat tonight. I already lost about 20 viewers here. If I'm showing up late to work, if I'm lazy, if I'm hiding in the back in a cardboard box house, which that is a true story that I used to do when I worked at Kmart, but that's for another day. That's for my comedy set I'm going to do someday. If I'm hiding in a cardboard box in the back of my job, if I'm lazy, if I'm avoiding work, if I'm stealing from my job, if I'm not showing up, if I'm not dependable, and my boss says, oh, you're a Christian, you represent God? That's a bad representation of God. So I'm doing everything to the glory of God, but you have to remember, I'm not at work just to make money now. I was there fishing just for money, but now I'm fishing for men. So I was there just, you know, working for a paycheck, but now I'm there working for a paycheck and also fishing for men. I'm actually there for a reason. So we need to be good representatives. I can bring God to my atmosphere, to my sphere, to my family, to my job, to my hobbies, to my career. I can merge these things. I can minister to people in my hobby. I can minister to people in my career. I can minister to people in my ministry. I can live in such a way where all these things intertwine together. And I'm not saying quit your job. Do not get off this and say, honey, Isaiah said I need to quit my job. No, I didn't. Don't quit your job. Just stop going to work so you can only earn money and start going to work so you can earn money and reach people with the gospel. So God has a calling, general calling. We have a ministry. The devil also has a calling. The Bible says he steals, kills, and destroys. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil has a plan for you. He wants to kill you. If you don't know the devil's general plan, it's actually that you die separated from God. He wants you dead. The devil wants to kill. If he can't kill you, he'll steal. He'll destroy. He'll do everything he can to wreak havoc in your life. This is why I'm an advocate of deliverance. Because demons want to destroy you. Demons want to pervert the plan of God. Demons want to move the plan of God. They want to distract you from the plan of God. Satan has a specific plan for Isaiah Saldivar. So I need to realize, we always say, God has a plan. Yeah, but also so does the devil. And we need to resist the devil, James says, and he will flee. We have to resist. We have to fight. Devil wants you to doubt God. He wants you to doubt the plan of God in your life. He wants you to be distracted. He wants to present the American dream. The American dream is Satan's calling. You're not going to hear this from most preachers. The American dream is Satan's calling for your life. Just live the American dream. Don't do anything for God. Don't do anything supernatural. This is the plan of the devil. But the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Here's what I love about Ephesians 2:10. God says, here's the deal. I have works prepared for you. Before you were born, I have them ready out. God, all the stuff you're supposed to do for God is not a mystery. God has it all laid out. You don't got to stress. I had times like, what am I going to do this year, next year? Am I going to always do the online? Is like, what's next? I'm always, and the Lord's like, Isaiah, Ephesians, just go read Ephesians 2:10. God has everything laid out. It's already beforehand. And here's what you have to do. Man, I love the Bible. Am I making this easy for you guys? Here's all you have to do. Walk in them. God's already prepared it. God's already planned it out. And all you have to do is walk in that. Don't live in fear. Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears. I'm seeking God. Satan wants you to fail. He wants you to fall. He wants you to be perverted. He wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to walk away. Quitting is too easy. Stop quitting. Stop going back to your old life. That's easy. You have come too far. Please hear what I'm going to say as if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. You have come too far to quit now. Why do you want to take the easy route? Go the hard way. Go the narrow road. The broad way's easy. What's easier, giving up or continuing to fight for God? What's easier? It's easy to give up. Anybody can quit. Anybody can go sin. Anybody can go sleep around. Anybody can go drink. It doesn't take a true man to drink and party and sleep around. It takes a true man of God to say no to every perverted thing the culture's throwing at me and say, I'm going to be a faithful husband. I'm going to be a good father. I'm going to be there for my wife. I'm going to pray and be there with my kids. I'm going to show up to church on Sunday. I'm going to raise my kids in the ways of the Lord. I'm going to say yes to them. I'm going to say no to my flesh. I'm going to make the sacrifice. I'm going to humble myself. Giving up is easy. Cheating on your wife is easy. We're having marriage problems. I'm going to go cheat. Wow, you're a loser. You're actually a loser. You've lost. You're taking the easy route. The easy route's the losing route. Like, Don't give up. Keep fighting. Don't stop always looking for the easy way out. Don't go into the devil's plan. Don't go into the devil's assignment. Choose to accept the call of God. Choose to say yes to God. Choose to follow the path that God has for you. Don't take the route of least resistance. Don't take the easy road. God says, I'll work things out. Romans 8:28. He'll work all things together for the good of those who love and are called according to his purpose. God is going to work things out for those that are called according to his purpose. Many are called, few are chosen. And that verse of a whole sermon on this actually means everybody's called, but few people accept the call of God. Few people say yes to the call of God. Few people say, God, I'm going to give you everything and I'm going to fulfill this call. So let me give you these practical steps now. Stay on the broadcast. I know YouTube just kicked out a bunch of people. Refresh the feed. If you get kicked out, come right back in. It is what it is. I'm going to give you some practical steps. These are 7 things I believe you need to do if you want to find your specific call. So the general call, then you have your own ministry. Everybody has. And now I want to talk about your specific call. My specific call, you can go watch my testimony. I won't share it all here. The Holy Spirit came to me audibly and said, Isaiah, I have a plan for you. It's to preach to the nation. So that's what I'm doing. That's my plan. January 12, 2011, the Lord revealed that to me audibly, showed me in a vision. That doesn't happen for everybody, but we all have a plan. God has given us a specific plan. How do I fulfill that specific plan? Number one, here's the first thing you need to do. If you want to fulfill the specific plan of God on your life, is you need to present your body to God. You need to give God, I know you probably have never heard this before, but you need to give God your body. The night I got saved, I said, Lord, I don't have anything to offer you. I didn't. I was an atheist. Well, I was like 5 minutes before I got saved. But the Lord said, I'll take your hands. I'll take your feet. I'll take your mouth. God wants your body to work through. God wants your body to speak through. God wants your body to use. So if you look at the first 11 chapters of Romans, it's all about the grace and mercy of God. And then chapter 12, how do we respond to the grace and the mercy of God? Romans 12, verse 1. This is very important. Do not click off this broadcast. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, I compel you, brothers and sisters. So everybody pay attention. By the mercies of God, present your bodies. And this is the Amplified. Dedicating all of yourself set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, and intelligent act of worship. The one translation says, which is true worship. Give your body to God as a living sacrifice. Your body, not just, pray the sinner's prayer. Give God your spirit. No, present your body to God. If you've never presented your body to God tonight, we're going to do it in prayer. At the end of this teaching, we're going to present our bodies to God. We're going to say, God, you can have our hands. You can have our mouth. Because you'll never fulfill your specific assignment. Excuse me. If your body still belongs to you. People are like, you don't watch that? No, I can't watch it. My eyes don't belong to me. God doesn't want to watch it. My eyes are God's. Oh, you're legalistic, brother. Call me whatever you want. Just don't call me late for dinner, okay? You can call me whatever you want. Call me legalistic. Call me religious. I don't care. My eyes don't belong to me, so they're not going to watch that perverted movie. My hands don't belong to me, so they're not going to be doing things they shouldn't be doing. My feet don't belong to me, so you're not going to find me at the club, at the party, at the rave, at the bar, going to places, casinos, places I shouldn't be, because my feet don't belong to me. So God doesn't want to go there. I'm not going there. My feet belong to God. When you fully surrender your body to God, you'll stop with this whole like, well, is it really wrong to do that? Is it really wrong to watch that? Is it really wrong? I don't listen to that because my ears don't belong to me and they're God's. So I don't put that nasty, polluted music into my ears. I get not washed by the world. I get washed by the word. I don't let the culture wash my brain with its music. I don't listen to the latest album and let this demonic music enter into my mind and change the way I think. My ears belong to God. I'm presenting my body, Romans 12, to God. This is the first step, saying, God, I am yours. You've asked for my body. This is my reasonable service. And I love what Paul says. He calls it a living sacrifice. He says, here's a living sacrifice. Because the sacrifices in the mind of the readers would have been the Old Testament, sheep and goats, which were killed and then placed on the Lord's altar. Paul says, no. We're not putting sheep and goats on the altar. You're getting on the altar. Put yourself on the altar. And in the same way the ox or the sheep or the goat would be killed there on the altar. Here's one difference. God does not want to kill you, your physical body. He wants you to be alive. So he says, give your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. So we're not going to kill, we don't kill the ram and then put it on the altar. You're going to crawl up on the altar, but you're not going to die. God's not going to kill you. You're going to stay alive because God wants living bodies so that he can speak through, live through, heal through, and accomplish his purpose through. Jesus said this, I go so that I can send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to enter into you and you are going to be my representatives on the earth. So now you're going to be a living sacrifice. That is why in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, the fire fell, because in the Old Testament, fire fell on sacrifice and they became the sacrifice. When they went in that upper room, they became the sacrifice and the fire rested on them, because in the Old Testament, fire would only fall on sacrifice. And they became the sacrifice, the living sacrifice. So I'm giving my body to God. God owns my body. God's not renting my body. Just like you rent a house and something breaks and then the landlord's... God's not renting me. God owns me. God owns me. When you rent a house, you're not responsible. But when you own a house, you're responsible for the maintenance. God owns me. God doesn't rent me. God's responsible. If something breaks down, God's going to heal me. If something messes up, God's going to be the one responsible, because God owns me, doesn't rent me. So we have to stop just saying, God, you can use me on Sunday. No, God, you can use me all day, every day, all week. I'm fully yours. You are fully responsible for me now, God, because you're no longer renting me on Sunday morning. You now own me. I'm giving you my body. And Paul doesn't say, like, pray the sinner's prayer. Paul says, no, give your body to God. We have to present our body to God. Once we present our body to God, this is number two, very essential. Step number two, write this down. If you want to fulfill your calling, is you need to humble yourself. I'm telling you this. This is a fact. This is objective. God will not use prideful people. God will not use the prideful person. When you see the hand of God lift off of somebody, and I've seen it happen over and over and over again with ministers and friends of mine, I've watched the hand of God lift off them. It's devastating. It's almost always because of pride. We cannot think we're better than we truly are. God, I'm nothing. Before this broadcast, I was under my desk, on my face, on my hands and knees, saying, God, I am nobody. Stop the hype. Stop. I don't care about the numbers. I don't care. I go to reach a million. I don't care. I'm nobody. I'm under my desk. Lord, I'm yours. Humble me. I don't want to get prideful. I don't want to get arrogant. I don't want to be above reproach. I don't want to be out of accountability. I don't want to be unteachable. I don't want to be uncorrectable. I want to be under just leadership that will keep me humble and stay humble, stay humble, stay humble. Humble yourself. Romans 12:3. Look at this. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, do not think more highly of yourself than you should. One translation says, don't think you're better than you actually are, but think soberly as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. Be sober. Don't think you're like, I'm Isaiah Saldivar. I'm this hotshot. No, you're not, dude. You're God. Don't say you're anything. God can raise up. That's what John the Baptist said. Don't say you're Pharisees and sons of Abraham and I'm a daughter of Abraham. Nope, nobody cares. John the Baptist said, God can turn these stones into children of Abraham. You're not special. Isaiah, you're not special. You want to mess around? You want to go fornicate? You want to cheat on your wife? You want to go watch porn? You want to go act crazy, Isaiah? Okay, guess what? I'll raise somebody else up. You're not like, oh, God needs me. This is what ministers think that are out sleeping around, partying, drinking. I don't need to go into scandals of ministers. There's enough. Every year there's like 5 scandals, okay? They think they're irreplaceable. Oh, God really needs me, because if I don't, you know, God's like, I'll replace you. I'll replace you. Don't let pride make you think you're better than you truly are. Be humble. And don't just, like, being humble is not feeling humble. Some of you feel humble, but you're not humble. Jesus didn't say feel humble. He said be humble. Humility is a decision. And the decision isn't that I think less of myself. Humility is not being like, I'm a loser. I'm a nobody. That's not humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. It's that it doesn't all revolve around me. It's not all about Isaiah. I'm not anybody special. So I'm not like looking down on myself like, oh, I'm a nobody. That's false humility. But I am not arrogant. I'm not haughty. I'm not thinking I'm a hotshot that everybody needs to part the way for me. That's a stench to God's nostril. The Bible says God resists the proud. Do you know if there's pride in you, you can chase God all you want and God will resist you? God's like, keep chasing me. You're not going to find me. You're not going to find me. Keep chasing me. Why? Because God says, I resist those that are proud. You got to stay humble. Luke 14:11. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So here's the thing about God exalting you, which is not a bad thing for God to exalt you. God has exalted our ministry. It just means he's lifted it up. God's raised up our platform, raised up our ministry. Why would God organically raise a ministry and influence? Raise a ministry and reach. Why would God do that to a ministry? Humility. Isaiah, humble yourself. Stay humble. Stay under godly authority. Stay humble with your wife. Stay humble with your family. Stay humble at your church. Let them correct you. Let pastors correct you. Don't think you know it all. Respond to altar calls. Pray, fast, stay humble. If you do that, Isaiah, I will lift you up. I will keep exalting your ministry. I'll lift it up. I'll grow it. So you guys hear this, because many of you are asking God to exalt you. Here's what happens, Isaiah. And I'm just using myself as a demonstration here. Just staying humble here. Isaiah, if you exalt yourself, if you start thinking you're some hotshot, if you start becoming some know-it-all, if you start lifting yourself up and you start doing all this stuff to promote yourself and not the ministry and not what I'm doing, then God says, I'm going to have to bring you down. I'm going to have to lower you down a little bit. I'm going to have to, you know, humble you. And you don't want God to humble you. You want to make sure that you humble yourself before God humbles you. And we know these ministers that are out cheating and sleeping around, they get found out. God humbles them. They're nowhere to be found now because God has humbled them because they've exalted themselves. Do not exalt yourself. Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with little, I'll trust him with much. Whoever is dishonest with little will also be dishonest with much. Here's the goal to getting exalted and getting more, is you need to humble yourself and be responsible with the little bit God gave you. I started preaching in a living room. I didn't despise the living room. I didn't say, well, I should be on a stage and a platform. Actually, I remember one time saying that when I was in my living room. I was like, why am I not on these big stages and all this? I could preach like these guys. And God's like, you're not ready. You're not ready. The fact that you're saying that, Isaiah, in your living room a month saved, saying like, why am I not on these stages, is a sign you're not ready to go there yet. So stay humble and be responsible with preaching in your living room. If you guys don't know, that's how I started. 2011, I was literally preaching in my living room and hundreds of people started showing up. If you're not responsible in the living room, how could I put you on a stage? If you're not responsible at the coffee shop witnessing to people, how could I get you to disciple all these people? Some of you can't disciple your own kids, yet you're saying, Lord, send me to disciple nations. What are we doing here? You can't disciple your 2-3 kids. You don't pray with them, don't read with them, don't do any of that. And you're asking the Lord to just, I want to disciple and have a big church. The Lord's like, a big church? How about you disciple the people in your own house? You guys see this? Be responsible with little and God will give you more. All right, number three. This is important to finding your calling, and this is often overlooked, but it's very practical, and I'm trying to be very practical. Number three is you need to find your passion. It is not wrong to be passionate about something. Psalms 37, verse 4, delight yourself in God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. So here's the key. Pay attention. When I delight myself in God, and I commit my ways to him, his desires now become my desires. I start desiring things I never desired before. So him giving me my desires is actually the same as his desires because we're one now. So it's not saying if you delight yourself in God, he'll give you everything you want. He's saying, look, when you get so close with God and you're delighted in God and you're in God and you're serving him and worshiping and praising him, he's going to give you the desires of your heart because his heart and your heart sync up together. They're in sync. My heart and God's heart are in sync. They're harmonious. They're synonymous. They're together as one. So I have passion. The passions I have are the passions God has put in me. So delight yourself, commit yourself to him, and God will give you those. So think about what you're passionate about. What do you love? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What do you burn for when you surrender your body, when you surrender your desires, when you humble yourself, you'll sync up with God and your desires will match his desires. Following your passions after surrendering your life is a great way to finding your calling. So whatever that could be, maybe you're passionate about pastoring, all right? Maybe you're passionate about getting involved in law enforcement. Maybe you're passionate about nursing. Maybe you're passionate about engineering. Maybe you're passionate about finances or business. Maybe you're passionate about opening up a vet. I don't know. Maybe you like animals. Maybe you like working with horses. Maybe you like working with dogs. Maybe you like working with children. Maybe you like working with special needs. Maybe you want to be a stay-at-home mom. What is your passion? Because it's likely if you're in the will of God, writing, there you go, Amy. then let God, that's probably part of your calling. What your passion is, God's put in you if you're on the narrow road. Now, if you're an unbeliever, those passions are worldly passions. But God can redeem them. When you're saved, maybe God will redeem them. But when I'm Christian, yeah, cooking. Maybe God, maybe you, one day you're calling and assignment is opening restaurant. Passions are not bad. Passions are not bad. If you are a Christian, it's okay to follow the passion you have for your calling, because you might find your life calling in your passion. And you'll know when your life calling is there. When you're in your calling, you're going to know it. You're like, well, I don't know if I'm in my calling. You're not in your calling. If you're in the chat saying, I don't know if this is my calling or not, it's not your calling. It's not your calling, because you don't have to ask. You don't have to think. You know, this is the call. Preaching is the only time I feel alive. This is my calling. This is the only time I truly feel fulfilled. Like, this is why I'm on earth. When I am preaching and teaching you guys, not the minute before, not the minute after. When I'm teaching, I know 1,000% right now, this is why I'm on the earth right now. Now, for many of you, you would preach and be like, I don't ever want to do this again, because it's not your calling, right? You like doing other things. Some of the things you guys are passionate and like to do, I don't like to do, but we're all different. God designed you that way. This is the diversity in the body of Christ. Serve the homeless, absolutely. Animals and children, absolutely. Call of God. Do what God's called you. Follow your passions. It's not wrong to find your passions, because you usually find God there. All right, four, we're almost done. Is you need to renew your mind. This is the bottom line. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So you guys see this? The mind being transformed is connected to the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now that I presented my body, my mind needs to be renewed, so I start thinking different. My motives are different. My standards are different. My priorities are different. And because I'm thinking differently, inevitably, I'm living differently. So I need to have that renewal of the mind. God needs to transform me, not from the outside in, but from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. And you can't renew your own mind. God must do it. God's the one that will renew your mind as you study the word, as you fast, as you pray. Religion changes you from the outside in. God changes you from the inside out. God says, I will change the inside so you won't do those things on the outside anymore. It'll no longer be a struggle because I'm the one changing you. So once you give yourself to God, God can start renewing your mind. If you want God to renew your mind, help him out by not always polluting it. We pollute our mind all day long on social media, and then we say, all right, God, I'm ready for you to renew my mind. And the Lord's like, you've been polluting your mind all day, all night. Do not pour garbage in your mind all day and then at night say, Lord, renew my mind. Give the Lord something to work with. Strive to live right and live holy and live pure so your mind is right. Let me give you an example of my renewed mind. And this could be wrong, and this might just be for me only. So take this with a grain of salt. I grew up, parents incredible, both of them in the chat, hardworking, literally hardworking. You know, they teach us be successful, work hard, all of that. Now, this is not the fault of my parents. This is just because what I believed just growing up, I just thought, you have to go to college. You have to do this. You have to do the American dream. I thought that, again, my parents had the most amazing upbringing in history. You can go watch my testimony. And my parents were the hardest working people. And all of us got jobs at 16. All of my three siblings, we all got our license at 16. We all graduate high school at 16. We all started college at between 16 and 17. All three of my siblings, all of us were living successful, working hard, because that's what my parents taught me. But this is not their fault, but I had the mindset that you have to do this to be successful in this life, right? Go to college, do this. Now that I'm a Christian, I'm raising my own kids, okay? And I, listen, my kids, I'm gonna tell them all whatever God's called you to do. If all four of my kids say, I don't wanna go to college, Dad, God's calling me to full-time ministry, or God's calling me to this trade school, or God's calling me to do this, I am going to support them in whatever God calls them to do. The world says, make your kids go to college. They will not survive without it. They have to be successful. That was my old mindset. My renewed mindset says, if my kids want to go to the mission field, if they want to serve in my ministry, if they want to, whatever they want to do, I'll support. Because my mind is different now. But what if all four of my kids say, we all want to go to college. We all want to be nurses, doctors, lawyers, whatever. Guess what? I'm going to support them. I'm going to look them in the eye and say, is this what you feel God has called you to do? Yes, Dad. All right, then I'm going to support you. If all four of you go to college, I'll support you. If all four of you don't go to college, I'll support you. And I'm just using this as a small example of my mindset has been renewed. My mindset is different on life. Life is different. It's not about making all this money and getting cars and houses, all this stuff, and you have to be this and you have to do this. No, whatever God says. Whatever God says, because the Lord's renewed my mind. The Lord's renewed my mind. So I need to see that my mind is different. You can't hold your kids to the standard that everybody else at work holds their kids to that are not Christians. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I live different. I act different. I talk different. Number five is you need to discover God's will, God's plan. You need to discover that His plan is good. His plan for your life is good. Now that God's renewed your mind, I know now God's will is that I live a healthy lifestyle. God's will is that I prosper in all that I do. God is not a poverty God. Now, I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. You guys know I don't teach the prosperity gospel. I don't believe God is a God that wants us poor and sick and broken and hurting all the time just to prove that we're going through persecution. That's not what I believe. The will of God is good, and every good and perfect thing comes from the Lord. So I know that God has a calling for me. I know that God has a plan for me. I know that God has acceptable and perfect things for my life. God's will is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. His will is that I live according to the Spirit. His will is that I'm not carnally minded, but I'm spiritually minded, like Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says. God's will is acceptable, the Bible says. God's will is perfect, the Bible says. And God's will is good. So you got to understand the will of God. If you don't understand God's will is good, you'll always think God wants bad for you. God does not want bad for His children. Let me ask you this. Do you want bad for your children? Do you want your kids sick? Do you want your kids poor? Do you want your kids hurting all the time? No, you don't. So why is that what we think God has? Like, I'm suffering. You know, God really wants me like this. No, He doesn't. Don't let people persuade you that God has terrible things in store for you. I'm looking for the verse that says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to harm you, hurt you. Plans of desolation and plans of poverty. That is not what the Bible says. God says, I know the plans for you to prosper, for you to be whole, for you to be healed, for you to be righteous. Like, guys, this is an exciting life. The decision I made 13 years ago to follow Jesus is the best thing I've ever made. I've never been happier. God is not boring. God's will is not boring. Don't believe that lie. God's will is good, holy, and acceptable. God has an acceptable will and a perfect will. God's will, write this in your notes, God's will for my life is perfect. Absolutely perfect. It's the exact will that I need. It's exactly at the right time. The will of God is perfect for my life. It's perfect for my life. Thank you, Lord, for your perfect will. Thank you, Lord. That's in Romans 12 too. Thank you, Lord, that the perfect and acceptable and good will of God, that I could prove that perfect, acceptable will of God, that every good thing comes from you, that you are a good father. The American culture and the American church has taught you that God is not a good father and God's withholding. That is not true. God is a good father. His hand is open and He says, all you have to do is ask and I'll give you the Holy Spirit. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. Jesus said, I feed the sparrow. Don't you think I'm going to feed you? Don't you think I'm going to take care of you? Don't believe this lie. I know, because we've gotten so big in the prosperity gospel, we've swung so hard the other way. We're right there in the middle. God wants us to prosper. That's literally what the Bible says. Paul says, I pray that you would prosper in all of your ways. That was the prayer Paul prayed for the believers. I want you to prosper. I want you to live right. I want you to live good. So realize God has a good purpose and a good will for your life. It's not a bad calling. It's not a bad will. That's discovering the will of God. And you got to spend time with Him to discover that. Number six, if you want to find your specific calling, I'm not going to go long on this because I did a whole teaching on this a couple weeks ago. Get involved in a local church or get around local believers. This is very important. If you want to find your specific assignment, you need to be around people also pursuing their specific assignment, their destiny. If I hang around people, guys, I think about the people I used to hang out with. None of them had purpose before I was saved. None of them had destiny. None of them had a direction for their life. None of them knew what they were doing. And you know what's so crazy? I am now 30. I have to ask my wife. I think I'm 32. She knows. I don't even know how old I am. I think I'm 32. I'll be 33 this month. Wait. My birthday is May 29th. I'll be 33 in a month, in 30 days, okay? I go on social media and I'll look up one of my old friends and they are 13 years. I haven't hung out with them in 13, 14 years, all right? They are doing the same thing. They are not doing anything different. If you hang around those same people, you're going to do the same thing they're doing. They're still at the beer pong. They're still having parties. They're still hanging around the same people. They've gained about 40-pound beer bellies. And am I lying? And they're all doing the same thing they were doing before I got saved. I look at my life, and I have 4 kids now, a beautiful wife, and we've reached millions of people with the gospel, and I see all this progress, this amazing life that God has given me, and I look at them, and I'm like, you're still literally partying at the same old house, literally, that we used to party at 13 years ago. You're still there? That's the same beer pong table we used to use. 13 years later, you're still using the same. Oh, I could smell that house. It smells terrible, and you're still there? That old house we used to party at with mold in it? You probably haven't even got the mold taken care of. And you know, and now they have like 1 or 2 kids that are there at the party with them still. I'm like, what? Guys, this is the thing. Stop hanging out with those people. You got to break out. You know the saying, if you hang out at the barbershop, eventually you're going to get your hair cut? Hang around the right people. This is why I'm saying get involved in a local church. My point is you're going to be hanging around the right people. Hang around the right people. If they're all going forward, you're going to go forward. Tracy Costin said, God leads forward. Yes, Tracy, 100%, sister. I can't say amen enough to that. God's bringing me forward. I'm not living that old life. I'm not hanging around those same people. I'm not at that same moldy house at the same nasty beer pong table. Probably the same plastic cups they're using from 13 years ago. I'm going forward in God. I'm hanging around people. I'm involved in the local church. Everybody I'm involved with, they're all doing what I want to do. They're all going in the same direction as me. Go in the same direction. If you want to find your calling, hang around the people. And if you're passionate about something, get around people that are like that. If you feel like God's called you to do live stream, find some friends that live stream. You feel like God's made you passionate about podcasting? Find some friends that podcast. You're passionate about feeding the homeless? Get involved in the ministry that they're feeding the homeless. Hang around those people. Wherever you're passionate, get in where you fit in. Get in where you fit in. Like, don't, you got to be involved. And I gave reasons why. I'll give them quickly here. I'm not going to give you all the verses, but I gave them in 2 weeks ago. I did a video on what to do after you get delivered. And the reasons why you should be involved in the local church: fellowship and community, spiritual growth, accountability, service and ministry opportunities, worship, gathering and worshiping together in unity, strengthening your faith, being a part of a community helps you strengthen your faith, witness and outreach. I mean, the list goes on. The list goes on. Get involved, all right? Last but not least, number 7. This feels like old time here. It's 1 hour and 10 minutes. I'm still preaching on a Monday night. Praise the Lord. Number 7 is finding your gifts. Find the gifts that God has given you. Find the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as many have members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So you and me do not function the same. For we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given, let us use them. So we have differing gifts. Let us use them in the way that God wants us to use them. And the Bible says to pursue spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 says desire special abilities, desire spiritual gifts. So we need to pursue them. We need to desire them. Let me just give you a list of the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Here's what I was going to say. I have hours and hours and hours of teaching on spiritual gifts. So I'm not going to go deep into it because I want to pray. But just go to my channel and you'll find all the hours and hours of spiritual gifts, what they all do, what they all mean. Here's the 9 in 1 Corinthians 12. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpreting tongues. These are various spiritual gifts that God gives. There's also other gifts in Romans chapter 12, verse 6. There's a gift of teaching, the gift of serving, the gift of exhortation, the gift of giving. Yeah, giving's a gift in the Bible. There's a leadership gift. There's a mercy gift. There's an exhortation gift. So finding out, what am I gifted in? Am I a teacher? Am I a planter? Am I an administration type person? Am I a caring person? Am I hospitality? Am I hospitable? Where can I serve at? Here's why, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the profit of all. So each one is given a gift for the profit of all. So we all have gifts. Romans 12:6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given, let us use them. 1 Timothy 4:14, don't neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with laying on of hands of the eldership. And then last verse I'll give you for gifts is 1 Corinthians 7:7. This is very important, and I'm going to end on this one. Very important, because I know you're like, I'm not gifted. I'm weird. I smell funny. No, don't say that. That's not true. This is what the Bible says. You are gifted. 1 Corinthians 7:7. Each one So there's 2,000 of you on here right now. Yep, 2,000 of you on here. Each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and one in that manner. So every single one of you, stop letting the devil lie to you. You have a gift. Every single one. There's 2,000 gifts in here right now, live. 2,000 gifts in here live. Find out your gift. Seek out your gift. Watch the teachings we have on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit for gifts. Ask the Holy Spirit to pour out his anointing on you. Ask the Holy Spirit for download. Ask the Holy Spirit for impartation. There are gifts that every one of us have. Don't let the devil lie to you. All right. Excuse me. Let us pray. Let's give our bodies to God right now. Someone said I'm weird but gifted. Hey, you might smell like cheese, but you're gifted. Praise the Lord. You might be weird, but you're gifted. Praise the Lord. No matter how weird you think you are, God has given you a gift. You have a calling. You have a purpose. Whatever that is, you play drums, play them unto the glory of Almighty God, whatever your gift is. Father, tonight we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, tonight we give our body to you. God, we give our body to you right now. And we just say, Lord, whatever you want us to do, we'll do it. We are yours. God, I pray in the same way you revealed my calling to me, January 12th, 2011 at an altar. I pray, God, right now that you would reveal callings to people. I pray, God, right now, whatever that calling is, maybe there's a new calling. I feel like the Lord just said there's new callings, there's new assignments, there's new purposes. I pray whatever that new thing is, Lord, you would reveal it clearly. Confirm it to them, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, give them a clear vision. Give them a clear calling. Give them a clear destiny. Give them a clear assignment right now, I pray. That would not be mysterious. It would not be hard to understand, but I pray clarity, in their calling, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God. Clear up whatever confusion there is, God. I pray closed doors right now. I pray, God, whatever door we've opened or left open that is not of you, I pray, God, you would close it in our face. And I pray that you would open new doors. God, close the doors that only you can close and open the doors that only you can open. I thank you, Lord, for the keys that you're giving keys out today for open doors, open heavens, God, that you are pouring out your spirit in an open heaven. That you are moving, God, in a miraculous way tonight in this broadcast. I pray, Lord, speak to your people like you've never spoke to them before. God, give them ears to hear. I pray that they would not be spiritually deaf, but you would give them ears to hear. Give them ears to hear and eyes to see. We pray that the door of heaven would be open. Just like John, a voice said, John, come up here. There was an open door for John to encounter God. I pray for open doors right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. We want to know you. We want to hear you. We pray you would release the passion that we have, God, would be from you. Release destinies and callings tonight, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for baptizing people in the fire. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we're giving you our bodies right now. God, I give you my eyes. I'll only look upon what you want me to look upon. God, I give you my feet. I'll only go where you want me to go. God, I'll give you my hands. I'll only do what you want me to do. God, I'll give you my ears, I'll only listen to what you want me to listen to. My body is yours. I put it on the altar of living sacrifice, God, and I give, true worship is giving yourself to God. I give myself to you, Lord. I give myself away, just like that old song says. So you can use me, I give myself away. Give yourself to God right now. God, we just give you our hands, Lord. We'll lay hands on the sick. We give you our mouth, God, speak through us. Lord, I want to be a good ambassador of you. I want to be a good representative of you. I pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. I give myself to you. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. God, I need you in my life. I can't go on without you. Holy Spirit, I pray your power. I pray your anointing. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would flow and you'd move. God, that you would touch lives and touch hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, that this word would grow, that would not fall on deaf ears. But I pray that this word would grow, it would multiply, and it would reach many people for your honor and your glory. God, let us be humble. Let us be renewed in our mind. God, let us know that your will is perfect, good, and acceptable. Your will is not to harm us or destroy us, but your will is good. And I believe in your will. I believe in your will, Jesus, and I say yes to your plan. And I say yes to your will in Jesus' name. I surrender. I surrender to you. I surrender to you in Jesus' name. We glorify you, Lord. Use us. In your name we pray. Amen. I hope you guys are blessed by this word tonight. I want to give you guys a chance to give. We are viewer supported, as you guys know, so we survive based on your guys' support. It feels really good to be live on a Monday night. I haven't been live on a Monday night in like a month, actually, now. I believe it's been a month because I've been doing early in the afternoon because of my daughter's games, but I'm working that out, and so the schedule will stay the same. She has a couple more games. I don't know. I think only one or two land on a Monday, but yeah, the games are over next month anyways. The schedule will remain the same. We're not changing it up. We will be live Monday nights and Tuesday nights. Tomorrow night, we'll be live with the Demon Slayer podcast that you don't want to miss. If you are blessed today, I pray that you would sow into this word. All the links to give are there. I have my website. Also, make sure if you sign up for the monthly partners, and maybe if you're new, sign up on my website, become a monthly partner for any amount, doesn't matter how much it is, and we will give you the link to the Thursday at 1:30 p.m. weekly prayer calls. We have a weekly Zoom prayer call that I want you to be a part of. So pray about becoming a monthly partner. Talk to your husband. Talk to your wife. Guys, we monthly partner with Starbucks. We monthly partner with Dutch Brothers. We monthly partner with Netflix. We monthly partner with Hulu, YouTube Premium. We have all these subscriptions that we monthly partner with. Monthly partner with ministries that are reaching people for God's glory. Not just mine, whatever ministries. I always tell people, sow where you grow. If you're growing here, if God is using our ministry to reach you, then support what we're doing so we can keep putting out this content for free. It really helps us out a lot. So there's all the links on the screen. I'm going to read the Venmo tonight. I'm going to read the PayPal, and I'm going to read the Cash App tonight. So I'll give you guys a minute to give while I read the chat. Thank you. If you're listening on Spotify, isaiahsaldivar.com/partner.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @IsaiahSaldivar. See you next week.